kept, and cruisers, when they were kept outside in the old town hall facility. So you did have problems.
Yeah, we have.
That seems inconceivable.
A lot of times they'd take an ice pick and they'd puncture all four tires on a vehicle. And you'd go out there and you'd have no vehicle. You'd wind up using your own vehicle to go on calls until you get the tires repaired.
Now, how else have you changed from what the facilities were there? There you had, basically...
Well, when we first started, we had where the Board of Health was now located. In one room, it's probably just a little bit bigger than this room here. That was the entire police station, other than walk-up downstairs.
And the lockup was old time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was old. In fact, we've had, I think, probably 8 or 10 people break out of down there. And because the wet and damp down there and the bars dry-rotted into the cement, you know, they shook them enough times and they were able to take and separate. And somebody was small, they could get out.
Do you know when they were built at all?
Yeah, when the building was built, which was back 1925, 1926,
and then later. Okay. And a lot of these people were kept in lockup, at least Officer Parker was saying, a long time ago, for the courts. This before the courthouse was built.
We were the lockup. In fact, the court used to be right over there where the selectman's office is.
In the town hall?
In the town hall. That used to be the court.
Oh, alright.
So that we used to be the holding facility for the state police and all the Northborough police, Southborough police, and the Grafton police for all during the 60s.
Uh-huh. And before, probably, too.
And before.
Until they moved out.
And then once these other towns started building their own police station and building their own cells, and then they started, like Grafton built them sometime in the late 60s, they built a building, and then they had their own cell block.
Oh, so that you would be actually holding prisoners for their police, not just those that were waiting for trials, but Westboro was the one.
You have to understand now that the court system is a lot different now that... Today, a lot of people don't even see the inside of jail. They come up with a $5 or $10 court fee and a bail fee, and they're out before this new system came in with the court was used, and we'd hold them overnight almost all the time.
Hmm.
There was nothing to take and have a $1,000 cash bail and $100,000 security.
Oh my goodness, all right.
You know, and I've seen the time that people put up their house mortgages and everything else over there under the whole system. And I've seen the time that say, well, I don't want this person to go because he's an open son of a gun type of thing and he's only going to cause problems and everything else, or he's going home and he's going to beat up his wife. And the clerk, of course, say, well, that's all I need, $500 cash bail with a $20,000 surety.
All right.
Nowadays, you can't do that. They come up with a bail fee and they're out. And they're out in their own personal recognizance.
Depending on the crime, is it, hopefully?
Well, we just had an arrest of a rape, two rapes that happened a year and a half ago, and one of the individuals was out on $200 cash bail. Now, if that was back in the 60s, he'd be incarcerated. He couldn't, put a $500,000 security on them, and they'd have to post probably $50,000, $60,000.
Mm. Who would you keep in your lockups now, then, and how often are they used?
Well, we use those
types
people
of
that we put under protective custody, which is the old drunk law.
Okay.
And people that are arrested for operating under the influence, or you catch breaking in an area, or somebody you've got caught shoplifting. But you don't keep them as long as what we used to. Mm-hmm.
And now what do you have for lockups or cell blocks?
We have three male cells. We have two that we use for a juvenile. It's a combination of juvenile or women.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're all monitored by cameras.
That's the difference, too, that you can see them in your dispatch area,
That's
is it?
Right, in the dispatch area, they've got the cameras and they monitor the cell block area. You can just imagine what the town might have been in a bind back in the 60s because nobody was in the station from 5 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock in the morning, you could have had somebody locked up over there, you know, they could have committed suicide, or if you ever had a fire or something, that, it could have happened.
That really is something that it could go on.
It gets awful scary when you start looking back at it and everything else.
How you survived, but it seems like this police facility at least is one that is capable of handling what's going on in the 80s and 90s and
well,
whatever
I'll
in the future.
Well, I'll match this one with any one in Massachusetts right at the particular time.
Good. It's impressive. The booking area. What happens in the booking area?
They bring the prisoners into the booking area. And from the garage, where they'll take and they'll shake them down, they'll fingerprint them, they'll photograph them. They have an area which we call an interrogation room. They may want to talk to them. There's a phone down there if they want to make a phone call. And then they'll take them and put them in the cell.
Also, fingerprinting is used for more than just booking now, isn't it? People use it for security. Is that one of the services that the police department has?
Yes. Provide services as far as, you know, people want to fingerprint for their own personal security or any clearance for a job type of thing.
Naturalization papers sometimes, so that's one of the things you do. Besides the booking area, the lockup.
And then we have our own dark room for photography work.
This is also for scenes of the crime, that type of thing? Accidents?
Accident scenes. We may go into a break and something, we need pictures of the, the room or the area for court purposes. Just to show that, you know, how things are shambles and how much damage was done.
And then now there are locker rooms lockers.
We'll get to that in here we have the big, what we call our records area out here. We keep all our central records.
That's everyone with a police record? Or?
Right. Well, that anybody that makes a report. Incident cards. Anybody calls up and makes some type of report, all goes on an incident card. And then if it needs further investigation, then it goes on in what we call an incident sheet. And we keep records of that, which we can keep anywhere from 2 years to indefinitely, depending on what the Boston says we have to keep certain type of records.
Okay.
Then we have, right next door to me, we have a conference room area. We also keep all our law books in. So if the officers want to refer to that, or have somebody to come in and they want to talk to privately, they go into the conference room there. Then on the side of the building, back here, we have a classroom, which will take care of about 35 comfortably. We'll probably put more in. Up having a search and seizure class this coming Monday that's been being sponsored by the Mass Criminal Justice Training Council, which will bring police officers from, you know, all over the central New England area.
They can come to Westboro now.
They'll come here and do our class. So it's not only for Westboro police officers. We do sponsor, give our facilities to the Mass Training Council for training purposes.
Great.
And then we have the locker room area.
Yep. Now, some of your offices are continuing to take courses, are they, at the police academy? And they have to keep up the EMT. That's another,
right,
I know that.
Keep up their EMTs. I am a firm believer in education, so I not only do assign certain personnel during the course of the year to us and attend certain classes, but a lot of them want to take it on their own.
What kind of classes? What are the things covered?
Oh, they can do anything from motor vehicle law, update on search and seizure. Could be stress.
Okay. I just wondered also what your budget is. I know I was chasing it through from the early days. So what is it, 83, 84?
I think about $565,000 right now. I dare say probably in 1968 it was $63,000, and I was lucky.
little personnel, not much personnel, and facilities certainly weren't quite the same either. And some of, oh, we were talking about the types of crime in Westboro, and Officer Parker mentioned that the police are very service-oriented in this town, that a lot of work is helping the community, dealing with their day-to-day problems, rather than, as a big city department would have to be, would be street crime a lot.
We try to be helpful. But, in fact, you know, I try to do different programs, and we can't keep them going on a full-time basis, but during certain times of year, is, you know, my crime prevention programs, where we have officers going around different neighborhoods a lot of times, just talking to people in general, being of service, let them ask questions, you know, we're trying to be helpful.
Try
to get into the school systems and work with kids on different programs.
You do security checks, too, when people are away,
right? When people are away on vacation, we encourage them to call in, and we'll check their homes for them.
And if somebody's locked out of their house, you can get it. Can you get them in?
We try to get in. In fact, sometimes we've been successful. Other times, if we've...
they've learned your lesson too well.
We've had to take a hammer or a rock or something to break a window, but at least we'll get the people into the home. As long as they say, just get me in, we'll get them in one way or another. And one of the biggest things that we have, that each of our cruisers is equipped with a car opening tool, which we can get in anybody's car, I would say, about 95% of the time. And you'd be surprised the number of lockouts we have. I bet we have at least five a week that are calling in saying,
help. Okay. But in a way, it seems lucky that Westboro is relatively a quiet, stable town. The economic base is pretty good, so they...
We don't really have too many undercarriages.
And not a high violent crime, at least.
Not very much, and we're fortunate in that aspect.
Hopefully it can...
The only thing that really scares me sometimes is not so much the people who live in the residential homes as the people who live in the apartment complexes, because you don't know what you're running into. A lot of times, people who live in the apartment complexes, we learn about them after they've moved out, especially in the bad check area.
Oh, yeah.
Or owing a lot of money. You find out about them after they've gone. You know, there's somebody else's headache then, but I mean...
But they've caused problems.
They've caused problems for us.
There was a gambling ring that was
set up on East Main Street that was in operation for a small time. Somebody came in, rented a house, got some phones in there. And
was that more of an organized crime or...?
Somewhat. And they'll be somewhere else. I imagine eventually it'll probably drift back into Westboro, maybe in 5 years, 10 years, or somewhere else. But they don't stay stable, usually. They move around. Mm-hmm. Organized crime will take them, put them into an area for, you know, a year or so and hope they don't get caught, and then they'll move them to another area. They work.
What about break-ins? Have they been increased? There was a point, particularly when drugs were important, I remember, that there seemed to be more break-ins.
We had more break-ins, I would say, before 290 opened, the Interstate Route 290. And once Interstate 290 opened, it seemed like Northbrook, Marlboro, and Hudson were getting the majority of all the breaks.
Why is that? What difference does it make?
Basically, you have to understand, as far as a lot of the breaks we have are done by, that's all they do for a living, to support a drug habit. They know where to get rid of it. And what they'll do is, you know, they can come from Boston, they can get out here in a half hour's time from Boston or even Worcester, and they'll go hit areas. For some reason, within the last 2 years, we've been fortunate. We haven't been hit as hard as some of these other towns have. But going back about 5 years ago, it was a different story. We were getting hit quite on a regular basis.
Mm. partly
and
because of the roads.
Of course, back 5 years ago, even say 10 years ago, you got the break. Everybody was losing the color television set.
I see.
Today, they don't take a color television set because there's no market for a color television set.
Depends on what. When gold, for instance, was high, they've been still.
That's right. Your gold, your silver, your jewelry, mm-hmm. stereo sets. Stereo sets are the main thing right now.
Really? And out of cars, too.
Or in the cars, they'll take away, and they used to take the CB radios. Now, somebody would go in and break into a car, and they just yank the thing. They could tear it back to the part in less than a minute. And you might have $1,000 worth of damage in a car for a $50 or $100 item that they just pull out.
Officer Parker also said that during the gas crisis, there were more car thefts,
yeah.
or for insurance purposes, cars would be stolen and then set afire or destroyed.
Well, probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, we had a rash of that also. I don't think we've had a burnt car now for well over a year. But I would say back, 3, 4 years ago, especially with the gas problem and, tough times and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
People were, having their cars stolen and burned and cashing it on the insurance. That's one of the hardest crimes to prove.
Yeah. What about, I'm curious about your police dogs, when they came under the force and how effective they've been.
Well, the first one I think I put on was right around 1976.
Why did you do it and what benefit?
Well, it'd be an effective tool in law enforcement. Not only can a dog sniff and go places, especially say at nighttime, and find out and apprehend a suspect, where we could almost trample over somebody if they were out laying in the woods somewhere and not even find them, where a dog would go right to them and get them.
They're good at tracking.
I can remember the first police dog that was put on, Ronnie Allen's dog, Fuller. In fact, I had him in training. And we had a young lad that was kind of disturbed down near the railroad tracks. Shoot off a gun at 5 o'clock one morning. He called up and he wanted to know if he had about $3,000 worth of guns stolen from him. About a week before then, he wanted to go down, get down there. I says, fine, go ahead. We recovered all the weapons.
You did?
Now, they had a lot of them buried down there in the leaves, which we wouldn't have found, but the dog found them.
How is the dog looking for guns? Is he trained to look for drugs?
The dog will take and go into an area that has been disturbed. This fellow had taken the guns in there and, disturbed the area.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll just scratch and everything else, and he'll let his handler know, hey, I found something here. This isn't right.
All right.
So that really put a plus into my thinking at that particular time. We not only discovered the guns there, but we went back to his house, and there he had the rest of the guns
mm-hmm.
also. So that helped solve that case, and then we've used them when we've been trying to apprehend some people that, we've almost like seen them and caught them in the act or something, but they're heading off into the woods somewhere, just let the dog go on a track with them, and he just will keep on tracking that thing, and eventually you wind up catching them. So.
Hopefully you can track the dog eventually.
And
they're fast, they run fast, don't they? They run faster than a man? How many do you have now?
We have two now.
Both working?
Right.
When did you get your second one?
Well, the second one was probably about a year later, and I've had two on since then. They're different dogs now, they're not all the same.
Since 1977, about them?
Yeah, I think I've had two dogs on since 77.
Do you use them on, lost children? Do you have much?
If you have a child lost in the woods, you can put a tracking harness on them. That's certain types of, if you want to go out just to track, and then they're going to pick up a sniff, say if he had a stolen car and somebody bailed out on a stolen car or something, you just give them the sniff of the car, or, you know, they will get the person sent in the car and they'll take off after it. If you're looking for, a lost child or a lost person, they'll put a different type of harness on them. We also have one of my dogs is trained for marijuana.
Oh, all right.
So he can, he'll sniff out marijuana.
Have you used that much?
Not too much. We do occasionally, if you stop a car or something, might let the dog get out and just go around the car type of thing if you're suspecting something. Or every now and then you might go into a school or something and just run up and down the corridors after hours or something, and you may stop at a particular locker or something.
Drug traffic in some, as in every town, some problem.
Well, we have it. The only thing is now it's a little bit more sophisticated and a little smarter now than what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you measure it? Well, I say that we don't have as much because we don't have the brakes that we should have. We have local people. Where are they getting the money?
Yeah.
Are they going out of town somewhere and breaking in somewhere and get the
money?
Although,
this is being a relatively high economic, they may group anyway. They may have the money to support it.
Is mom and dad giving enough money to go out and so they can maybe be a weekend person? Possibly.
Who knows?
So it's a hard thing to tell you to take and pin down.
It's a problem that exists everywhere.
Yeah,
but,
it does. We realize that. I would say most of our drugs that we have in town, I don't think we have any hardliners now as on heroin. We had a couple at one time that either incarcerated or they're no longer living. Most of it is strictly marijuana or coke. And that's not the kind you drink.
Right. Okay, now, see what I was thinking else of as far as break-ins, they're four down. Not that many murders. I know that there was a, back in 1921 or whatever, was the baby doll murder.
Baby doll, right.
And
then we had one in 1933 down off of Flanders Road.
Who was that? Oh, that was the one on with the relatives or something? A hermit?
Yeah. I can't think of the name offhand. And then the next one we had must have been about 5 or 6 years ago, up on where the roller rink is now, on the other one, skate around, whatever the name of it is. There used to be a house there. That was a murder-suicide. Some people in the 70s.
So it's about every 5 or 10 years you get a murder, but or shooting.
But we went from 1933 to about late 1970s without a murder.
It's good.
That is damn good.
Great. So
then,
not many gun problems then, or shooting problems.
No, not
just
too much.
We have
a lot of suicides over the years. For one reason or another.
And there are hunters in Westbrook, but they seem to, and a gun club, but they seem to handle and train their people pretty well. Is there a young group of boys like the Explorers, were they ever with the police department as well?
I had an Explorer group for about 4 years with the police department, both the girls and boys. And it went good, and then all of a sudden it just bottomed right out. And just couldn't get any kids committed to joining the Explorer group.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of hard work, and there is one that exists already with the fire department. So.
It was going good. In fact, they had their own van, they had their own radio equipment, they were doing a lot of things.
What types of things would they do?
They'd go out and they'd assist us if we had a bad accident scene or something. They'd go out and they'd direct traffic for us, and we had a parade or something that they would assist with the directing traffic and parades. And I had them doing house checks for us at one time.
Yeah, I remember we needed someone to stay with antiques at the antique show, and someone from the Explorers group came in there.
And we had a good group, about 20 kids at one time, and then all of a sudden they graduated off, and we couldn't get the new ones. Mm-hmm. We tried to get them to sign up, and for one reason or other, and it could have been peer pressure from kids don't get associated with the police or something.
It's too bad. There may be a cycle to it. It may come again. Right. Again, you have a new facility, the times are changing.
We try to get it going, and in fact, they try to get it going and have it between Westboro, Northboro, and Southboro. And I think we had 4 kids that signed up out of the 3 towns.
That's too bad.
And that was about 2 years ago.
Really? So time isn't ripe yet, I guess. Just back to the police dogs. They're all German Shepherds. And they have won some field or events or been recognized, haven't they? As
Ronnie Allen's dog was a super dog. In fact, he was ranked nationally in competition for 2 or 3 years.
He's not with the force anymore, is he?
He's still on the payroll.
Is he still on the payroll? What does he get for pay?
When he gets his regular week's pay, I'm trying to get him out on a disability retirement. He's had a fusion in his back, which didn't take, and he's supposedly, they want him to have another operation, but there's no guarantee on that. But,
when you say he's on the payroll, seriously, what do you mean?
He is. He's still a member of the police department.
He's a member of the police department.
He's out on injured leave until such time that...
What's his compensation, though?
Regular week's pay?
He gets a week's pay? The dog?
No,
the dog.
The dog
handler, you're saying.
The handler does.
A handler is paid.
The dog is retired.
The dog is retired, but the handler. And therefore, how many police officers are trained to handle dogs?
I have 2.
With
I have my Corbett now on board right now.
So that's another facet of training that you go into. And, well, I think. Was there another convention held here recently?
They had, this past spring, they had the National Canine held in Grafton, although they did use upstairs for classroom work.
So this facility is being used quite a bit for New England and national seminars. Centrally located, again, Westboro is...
It's centrally located.
What do you see for the future, Chief Shepherd, as far as... What's going to happen to Westboro and the role of the police department, too?
Well, certainly I think the police department is going to grow. I don't think the town is going to grow population-wise that much, but the way the letting industry and everything else come in, I would dare say that, you know, our daytime population would probably exceed 50,000 within a few short years.
Which will mean what kinds of changes? Something to do with roads.
I don't know what they're going to do. It's all money, and they keep on pushing them inside. I don't know. They're going to have to be able to take and do something with the rotary down in the downtown area. Mm-hmm. And restructure the traffic. Or else downtown area is going to be wiped out. Yeah. You can see it right now, I mean, from the type of stores that used to be there, the type of stores are now.
Mm-hmm. And also the fact that there is a traffic jam, it may not last that long, and the people who caught in it may only be in it for 15 minutes, but they still are
if
just...
If you see what's happening, though, you still got that 15, 20-minute traffic jam, but people are using alternative routes, and they're starting to jam up also.
Yeah.
So what you're eventually going to
see kind of bypass.
It needs it. At one time, they were looking at coming in down East Main Street, then running a bypass over to over Water Street to Milk Street. But one time they were talking about extending that road on Flanders Road through the swamp, see the swamp, over onto Hoppington Road or South Street. Of course, that's all money. You're talking big money to go through a swamp there and bridging that. And nobody wants to face the facts. But if you're going to keep on getting more and more traffic in, I mean, you just see the number of, I don't know, how many square foot of building spaces they've got them already allotted and how many they got on the drawing board. But
it's going to go explode, and it's beginning to.
you take the Schifano up there and Howard Johnson's and the Consumer Bank that they're building right next to GTE and that other office park up there, you can, if you're out there anywhere from 7 in the morning to 9 in the morning, you'll see Route 9, you know, really jammed.
Really?
And from 3:30 in the afternoon until 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, you'll see it really jammed.
So
and it becomes a problem for us because what happens is when people get delayed, they start taking more chances. And, you know, I've had my officers out there on Route 9 a lot of times, you know, cracking down on these people using the breakdown lanes because they want to try to save time, and the next thing you know, they're weaving in and out of traffic.
More
hopefully,
accidents.
The way I look at it, it saves an accident, you know, saves us investigating an accident. And it acts as a deterrent.
We still don't have a traffic light in the middle in town, do we? No, only on
the
right.
Well, I've been on record for a number of years of with the selectmen over there, and in fact, trying to put traffic lights on timers. You know, it doesn't have to be on 24-hour a day cycle. You know, it can be on for a certain period of time. And I suggested to them that more areas in town that should be controlled by traffic lights.